Let's begin by looking at a face. Can you see the face of the person that you are most worried about these days? For whatever reason, who is the person that you are most worried about right now? And I want you to picture their face. It might be the face of an elderly grandparent or our parent in assisted living. It might be the face of your spouse or partner who, for whatever reason, is particularly vulnerable these days. It might be the face of an adult child who seems to be having trouble making his or her way in the world. It might be the face of a loved one who has been living with long COVID. It might be the face of someone who is sort of sleepwalking through life, and you wonder more than anything what you could do to help. And maybe it's your own face as you are looking in the mirror, because you're deeply worried about your own vulnerability, maybe because of a health concern or financial setback or the loss of a relationship. For whatever reason, it might be your own face that you see as you think of the one that you're most worried about. In today's gospel reading, Jesus asks us to look at a face. It's the face of the widow in this story. Widows in Jesus' day were extremely vulnerable. There was no social security, no safety net. They weren't able to inherit property. And Jesus called his attention to this widow. And what is it about the widow that you think Jesus wanted them to notice? I remember the first time I saw her, it was in the pages of an illustrated children's Bible in my grandmother's house. And in the illustration, I could see several wealthy men wearing extravagant robes that could have put even Joseph and his technicolor dream coat to shame. They were really ostentatious, they were really dressed to the nines. And they were emptying their purses and pouring large amounts of shiny silver and gold coins into the collection chest, which was shaped like a tuba with a wide mouth and a narrow neck, so as to discourage busy hands from taking out rather than putting in. And on the next page was a woman walking away from the collection chest after having tossed in two small coins. In the illustration, she had her back turned toward the reader as she walked away. And she was dressed in drab brown and her posture was low slung. Jesus noticed her as she was walking away and he called to his disciples and he pointed out how all of the wealthy patrons had given out of their excess, but this poor widow, in giving away a single mite, M-I-T-E, or two small coins, had given away everything she had. As a child, that was the part of the story that really mesmerized me. Really? She gave away everything she had? And I wish that I could see her face in that illustration, but I couldn't because she was walking away. The illustrator didn't show us her face. But I wanted to see her face. Did she look sad, defeated, or surprisingly contented, or even joyful and cheerful? I wanted to know. And in most illustrations of this story, the widow is usually portrayed as an older woman, it seems. But on your bulletin cover is a watercolor by the French painter James Tissot, who portrays the widow differently. And friends on Zoom and here in the sanctuary, you can see this painting now. The widow is a young woman with a child. Do you see her? Thankfully, Tissot has us facing her so that we can see her. But she's not looking us in the eye. She's downcast. This, to me, is not the face of a cheerful giver. This is someone who is deeply worried. This is someone who feels vulnerable, even more vulnerable than she felt before. The traditional interpretation of this story is that Jesus is praising the widow and holding her up as a model of sacrificial giving. Much like the tree in Shel Silverstein's story of the giving tree, the widow gave away everything she had out of love. But starting around 30 years ago or so, many biblical scholars were revisiting this story and taking another look at it. They noticed how in the scene right before, Jesus was criticizing the temple hierarchy, whose job it was to keep money coming into the temple, to keep the institutional expression of piety flourishing and prospering. But in doing so, the temple hierarchy had often relied on the poor for taxes, and they played fast and loose with the laws they interpreted to impose temple taxes on poor widows. And so no wonder that Jesus complained that the scribes or the religious scholars were only too happy to devour widows' houses. And then right after this, Jesus sat opposite the treasury. And in Tissot's painting, you can see how Jesus is seated there on the left with the disciples, opposite the treasury, as Mark said, which I think depicts not only his position in the scene, but also his attitudinal disposition toward the temple hierarchy. He is sitting opposed to them. He is opposed to them and their practices. Jesus is opposed to a temple system that forces poor widows to give away everything she had. So in this interpretation, Jesus is not so much praising her sacrificial giving as he is grieving it, grieving that it happened. How would you feel if your widowed grandmother signed away her Social Security check to a TV preacher with a shady reputation? Or you may remember that several years ago, there was a famous megachurch pastor in Atlanta who was seeking donations so that he could buy a $65 million airplane. How would you feel if your uncle or aunt had given away all their money to help this megachurch pastor buy that plane? Would you have held up your uncle or aunt as a model of sacrificial giving? Or would you have bemoaned and lamented the entire situation? And so in this new interpretation, Jesus is lamenting that the widow had to give away everything she had. And also in Mark's gospel, don't forget what happened the day before. It was only the day before that Jesus had overturned all the temples, all the tables in the temple. Jesus is not well disposed toward the temple hierarchy at all. So which interpretation do you find most persuasive? That traditional interpretation that the widow is a model of sacrificial giving, or this other interpretation that sees the widow as a victim of a corrupt temple hierarchy? And maybe we get a clue in Jesus' face. I'm not sure. You can see his face there on the left. Is it a face that's expressing awe at her great gift? Is it a face that's expressing anger? Or is it a face full of all kinds of emotion that's just below the surface? And I'm not sure. I think Tissot leaves it open. I'm not sure. But I do believe that Jesus wants the disciples to see the widow in a certain light. He wants her to see her might. Not M-I-T-E, the two coins, but M-I-G-H-T, her power. One of the major themes in the gospel is how the first will be last and the last will be first. And so this widow, this person who is the most vulnerable member of society, in the kingdom of heaven, in the realm of God, she's first. She has power because God has not forgotten her. And in truth, I think we need both interpretations of this story. There are days when we need some righteous anger at those who are taking advantage of others. And we need to understand that anger in ourselves. The poet David White, in his book, Consolations, The Solace, Nourishment, and Underlying Meaning of Everyday Words, offers some definition of words. And this is from his definition of anger. He writes, anger is the deepest form of compassion for another, for the world, for the self, for a life, for a body, for a family, and for all our ideals, all vulnerable, and all possibly about to be hurt. What we have named as anger on the surface is the violent outer response to our own inner powerlessness, a powerlessness connected to such a profound sense of rawness and care that it can find no outer body or identity or voice or way of life to hold it. And here ends the quotation. There are times when we do indeed need to make space for our anger, which has its roots in the powerlessness that we feel and in our fierce love for the most vulnerable among us, including ourselves. We need to hear a gospel story in which Jesus gets angry. We need to hear a story that elicits our own anger, our own deep compassion for the most vulnerable among us. And I believe we do need to hear a story about sacrificial giving as well. Even if it doesn't come from this story, earlier in the gospel, Jesus has said that those who find their lives will lose it, those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. Jesus encouraged them to carry the cross. There are other examples throughout the gospel of sacrificial giving. And we need to hear that kind of story as well, a story that inspires us to give out of all that we have. Can you think of an extraordinary act of kindness that someone has shown you in recent days? Or can you think of someone who is overwhelmed with gratitude because of an extraordinary act of kindness on your part? And in Mark's gospel, when Jesus does describe the widow and her gift, he said that she gave her bios, a little Greek word that means life. It's where we get the word biology. She gave her bios, her life, her essential self, her integrity and wholeness, everything she had. And the season of Lent is always a reminder of how Jesus gave away his bios, his essential self, his all, and held nothing back. And Lent is a time when we can allow Jesus to inspire us to give away our bios, the very best part of ourselves, our all. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.